The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters Life Insurance. Employment opportunities to become an insurance agent and information about their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester. Two verses from chapter 55. It seems like a very short reading, today's first reading from the prophet Isaiah. And yet one that got me thinking about the Eucharist. Let me read, it's quite short, it is. And let me read to you these two verses, verses 10 and 11 of the 55th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So shall my word be, the Lord says through the prophet Isaiah. My word coming down from heaven and not returning until the earth is made fertile and fruitful. This is a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. This is a foreshadowing of Jesus himself who comes down. I guess it's a foreshadowing also of the incarnation, right? of which the Eucharist is the remaining presence of. But just as Jesus comes down and the God the Father sends forth his word, his own son, the Logos, comes down to earth and doesn't return to the Father until the earth begins to bear fruit and to be fruitful. It's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, these passages written centuries before the coming of Jesus refer so clearly to him who comes down from heaven, who wants to make the earth fertile and fruitful again, who wants you and I to benefit from that fruitfulness and then to return to the Father with Jesus, that is, to join him in heaven forever. Let's stop here and appreciate the great blessing that we have in the Eucharist, in the Word made flesh, who desires to remain with us. He desires to be with us so that, first of all, you and I can receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the celebration of the Mass, but also so that you and I can adore him in Eucharistic adoration. I've been thinking about this. You know, here at Relevant Radio, we have daily Eucharistic adoration. Every hour, I think, that we're live on the air, we have people adoring Jesus, invoking his assistance, worshiping him for who he is, God himself. And there's a great blessing for all of us who are in the Relevant Radio studios, but I think those blessings redound to you too, I hope, I pray. Right, that you're feeling the effects of that Eucharistic devotion. It's interesting to me how many people will come to me and say, Father, I have a hard time with Eucharistic adoration. They might say that. They might not even know what Eucharistic adoration is. They might not realize that besides being able to worship Jesus in the Eucharist at Mass, outside of Mass, there are opportunities across the globe for us to step into adoration chapels, to step into our churches while there is adoration going on, to worship Jesus present in the Blessed Sacrament and placed on the altar for us to worship. And people wonder, have asked me many times, what's the best way to use my time in adoration? Because I notice my mind wanders. I notice that I don't always stay focused. Sometimes I wonder what I should be doing to make it more profitable. And I want to offer some concrete advice. But let me, before I get there, offer you a similar question that people will share with me or ask me about the rosary. They'll say, well, Father, I try to pray the rosary. I know my mom would like me to pray the rosary. I know my grandma prayed the rosary every day. I know that there are many in the world and in history who have benefited from this, but as I pray it, it's it's become monotonous sometimes, Father, and it's become difficult to pray. And I don't always appreciate what I'm saying or feel the effects of what I'm praying. See, these are two similar questions. Essentially, how do we get the most out of our time in prayer, be it adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, or in turning to our Blessed Mother and asking for her protection and intercession? What's the best way that we can pray in these areas? Well, there's a lot we could say about this. There really is. I mean, we could talk about a lot of different topics. We could talk about techniques, or we could talk about methods for meditation, for praying the rosary, we could talk about styles or even booklets that you could get for helping you to use your holy hour, your time before the Lord well in that holy hour. But I would just like to make a simple observation, one that comes to mind that maybe we often forget about. And it comes down to this. I was reflecting on this because a young man that I know who's coming into the church very soon shared with me that he's starting to pray the rosary. And he shared with me how it's been a really powerful experience, difficult experience too. I mean, it wasn't easy to start and it isn't easy to continue, but he shared with me recently how powerful this has been as a devotion, especially this one time that he prayed the whole rosary, the Sorrowful Mysteries, I believe he said, and he felt like this presence. He felt this awareness of God in his life. He felt this ability to pray, maybe that he hadn't recognized or experienced in the rosary before. And I was thinking about how it's great when that happens, isn't it? Isn't it great when you go into Eucharistic adoration and the hour just flies by because you're just completely immersed in the experience? You're aware that God is there before you. Your head is bowed and you're focused during that time. Or maybe when you've been praying the rosary and you just feel so united to our Blessed Mother. Isn't it fantastic when we have those really great experiences of prayer? And then there are times when we don't have that. Times when we struggle to stay focused. We struggle to feel the presence of our Blessed Mother or of Jesus himself in these times of prayer. We have a difficult time sticking around even. It's completing our prayer or giving the Lord the time that we need to in those devotions. What do you do? You know, I've been thinking about how prayer is so much a discipline. Prayer is essentially, yes, can include wonderful experiences, but is something that we do whether we have that great feedback or not. The analogy I was thinking about was of writing. See, writers, I think, know. Sometimes the words just flow, right? Sometimes your fingers are flying across the keyboard and you're just, your mind and your thoughts on the page are one and it just seems to come out and it's a great feeling. And then other times, probably the majority of times for many writers, it's not working like that at all and you're struggling. And you write 10 words and you delete 8 of them. And you write a page and you delete it all because it wasn't what you're trying, right? I mean, it's hard. It's just difficult because it's a hard discipline to practice. But the only way that you get better at writing is by doing it. The only way, I mean, of course, you also study technique. You're formed in it, but you have to do it if you want to get better, right? It's an essential part of it. That is what prayer is like too. We have to become so disciplined that we will do it whether it feels like it's helping or not. So we pray the rosary when we feel all warm and fuzzy inside, and we also pray it when we feel completely arid and dry, and we feel maybe even nothing inside. We go to our holy hour once a week when we were so excited about it. And we also go when we'd rather do something else, when we can't imagine how everything else is going to get done if we spend this hour before Jesus. Because prayer very much comes down to discipline in our life. It comes down to you and to me doing it faithfully in good times and in bad. in sickness and in health. You could use the marriage vows to describe it, right? Anytime, at all times, to be faithful to the Lord, to strive to communicate well with him. We're not always going to feel the benefit of it in that moment. But over time, what happens is that prayer becomes so important, so essential, and becomes so effective that even when we don't feel it, we know we couldn't live without it. We know that without it, we would be even more lost than we are in the present moment. Maybe you've been struggling, and maybe you wonder what to do during these times. Yes, definitely find some resources to help you out. There are some fantastic books to help you use your time before Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament well. We have the Family Rosary Across America coming up in just a few moments to help you pray the rosary in case you have a hard time doing it on your own. You can use the Relevant Radio app to pray the rosary. You can use it to help you with particular devotions throughout the day. But whatever you do, whatever techniques and aids that you use in your prayer life, really what you have to do is do it regularly, consistently, do it promptly. You have to do it as a discipline. And then it becomes something that you love, that you couldn't do without, something that changes your life completely. Just a little thought there, right? When you feel like your prayer life isn't going so well and you wonder whether it's ever going to get better, realize that it will, but sometimes we have to get through those tough times. We have to be disciplined about it. We have to put in the hard effort and the hard work in order to make our prayer life as strong as possible. Okay, as I mentioned, stay tuned for the Family Rosary Across America. Until tomorrow, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.